Item 10 is a subdivision and rezoning at 1680 St. Mary's Road, 700 and 730 River Road, under file DAV 153838 of 2014D. And in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 11 is a variance at 1680 St. Mary's Road, 700 and 730 River Road, under file DAV 156150 of 2014.
All right. I will remain in the chair as this is in the St. Norbert part of St. Vital, not actually my ward, so I'll stay in the chair. And we have these folks, these applicants. Thank you. All right. So the registered applicant, we have a number of individuals here, but we'll start with applicant is Harry Hayde. So, Mr. Hayde, you've got, thank you for your patience. This has been an unusually long meeting of ours, but good news is you're the last item on the agenda. So, please, you've got 10 minutes to address the
committee. Well, actually, if I may, Councillor, I am the applicant, but on behalf of Village Canadien, I would like to ask the chairperson of the co-op to speak to the merits of the application first, and then
sure.
I can come in. Okay, thank you. And Linda Ferguson.
And that.
Hello, I'm Linda Ferguson, and I've been living at Village Canadien since 1999, and I currently chair the board of directors there. Just a little history. Our co-op, Village Canadien, was built in 1976 under a CMHC program to provide affordable family housing. We are incorporated as a not-for-profit cooperative. We are situated on 12 acres of well-treed land, 2 bays off of River Road, and 1 bay off of St. Mary's Road. We have 150 two-, three-, and four-bedroom, two-story townhomes with full basements. Some members have lived in our co-op almost since it was built. Many of our members are aging, and our current units no longer provide a suitable accommodation for them. The stairs are a problem. We have upstairs and downstairs. And some of our members need now to be in a one-bedroom unit, and we don't have any. The smallest we have is a two. It's important to us that our seniors be able to age in place. The 55-plus apartment will provide suitable, affordable accommodation for our seniors and for other seniors in the community. There is considerable condo development in the area, but none of it is affordable for low and moderate income seniors. Much of it is the signs say luxury accommodation. Co-op living and our location make this an excellent 55-plus apartment. The co-op offers opportunities for seniors to volunteer and be involved in the governance of the co-op. We have community gardens and an abundance of green space for members to enjoy. We are close to many amenities. We have the little shopping center across from us. We're not far from Dakota Community Club, a five-minute walk to St. Vital Center. We are in the process of purchasing the land, which we now lease. One of the conditions of this purchase is that the land be used for affordable housing in perpetuity.
Councillors, I can answer any questions that you may have about the proposed development. One comment that I would like to make, and that has to do with the land dedication, if I may, and I refer to the planner's report that talks about a committee on planning and community services back in 1993. Adopted a policy to waive the 10% cash in lieu of land dedication fee for all nonprofit senior citizens' homes, and I would ask that you do so in this case. I can demonstrate, if you like, I can hand out the articles of incorporation, although the planner has those, that demonstrates that this is a not-for-profit co-op. The intent is to build a senior citizens' apartment building. So until it's actually there, I can't demonstrate other than to tell you that is the intent. and I can answer any questions you may have.
Could you clarify, and we have those copies, thank you to the planning staff, of an article under the Cooperatives Act, so for the record, we have that filed. That the comment Ms. Ferguson made about land being leased and owned, I wasn't too clear on that.
The land, when the project was originally developed, the 150 townhouse units, it was on leased land from Manitoba Housing. No, from CMHC. Manitoba Housing, sorry. Manitoba Housing has determined that they are prepared to sell the land to the co-op for the remaining lease payments. And so that is in the works right now. I'm not sure if it has made it to land titles, but it will shortly if it hasn't yet. So the co-op will have title to the land. Any idea on the timing?
Does that present any issues?
This week we should know.
This is David Gothrop, who is the executive director, and he indicates that they expect to hear from Manitoba Housing when the land will be, in fact, transferred and registered with land titles.
I got to ask if that presents any. So, does that include that all of the property that is the proposed site for the L-shaped building?
All of the land.
I'll admit I don't know the law on this. Perhaps no. I mean, can the tenant apply in this situation?
I
believe I did submit a letter of authorization from Manitoba Housing to Village of Canadian.
Yeah, just one moment.
A letter authorizing you to proceed with
this
process. Okay. Well, we'll presume that that's on file somewhere in this.
Yeah, it should be in the application package.
Okay. Any questions about the proposal for Mr. Gothrop? Are you speaking as well, or are you?
I really have nothing else to add. Compelling, but if there's any questions that I might be able to answer about the site, I can try and do that.
And how, I'm not clear on this. How do we know that it will always be a 55 plus in perpetuity in relation to, I'm just thinking of the 10% waiving. Is there?
I think I can answer. I'm not sure, but I'll try. The application for funding will be to Manitoba Housing in support of this project. And they will make the stipulation that it remain 55 plus. Yeah.
Stipulation. Oh yes. Okay.
So that can certainly be a stipulation from this committee.
Right.
That it be that. There's no intention to do anything otherwise.
Right. No, and I know. And it's a good location. I know that location really well. Like it's just a fantastic location for this, with the grocery store and mall and.
Well, with the lovely grounds where people can go.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm very familiar with it.
And I have another question.
Sure. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, and I'm just wondering in terms of the conforming to the bylaw, and I understand not-for-profit senior centers are exempt. It's kind of a technical question. A cooperative, is that a not-for-profit? Because I thought a cooperative was an organization that shared the profits with its membership.
No, it's not-for-profit. I think the Articles of Incorporation state that.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
It is not-for-profit. You can't, there can be for-profit co-ops.
Right, right here.
But I don't think there's many in Canada. It's more of the New York model.
Right, right. There's not many. But okay, thank you.
And we've had from the staff that, yes, that letter of authority from the property owner is on file authorizing the Village Canadien to proceed. Okay, so if we have no further questions, thank you. You will have the chance to come back and speak in rebuttal, as I know there are some people registered in opposition. So the next registered speaker in support is Frank Wheeler. You don't have to speak if you don't care to. You're registered in support. Carol Ann Seaburn, You can speak if you wish to, Caroline. Sure.
Yes, I'm here as a resident of the Village Canadien Co-op. I've been living there for 11 years and extremely happy with this place. And I want to stay in the area when the time comes, if the time comes that I can no longer do stairs. I would love to have this seniors housing right there because it's a wonderful place to live. And I just think it would be great if we can go ahead with this apartment. Just on a little side note, I've just become a member of the board of directors, so I'm very happy to be able to be here and speak positively for this idea. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Okay. Harry Wilbert is here if you care to speak. Mr. Wilbert, come on down. And you're at 1680 St. Mary's Road?
That's correct. Okay. I wish to speak in favor of the recommendation before you today. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Councillor Mays, Councillor Allard, Councillor Lukes, if I have a chance to meet you. I live at 1680. I also serve on the board of directors. I'm a long-time member of the co-op. I'm very happy living there. As has already been said, this will provide safe, affordable, and accessible housing for our members. It's a win-win for our co-op and for the community. We all benefit from it. For our aging members, those with disabilities, even myself, I'm 53, so by the time it's finished, I hope to move into this brand new facility, so I, stand to benefit from it. I ask that you vote in favor. I see no reason why the project shouldn't go ahead. I haven't noticed any fierce opposition to it. It's a win-win for the community overall, so ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? And you've been a co-op member for some time?
13 years now. Yes. Okay. Going on 14.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
One speaker remaining registered in support, Carl Falk. Okay. Anyone else whose name I haven't called is here in support of the application? Seeing no one, we do have a number of people registered in opposition. First on the list is Dave Diamond. Come on down if you wish to speak.
Could Janice, who's also registered,
speak first? Sure. So we have on one sheet of paper Janice Graham and Leo Gottfried.
Good evening. I would like to explain first that we're not in opposition per se. That happens to be the only category that we could raise concerns in. And the reasons for the building and development of this apartment block we wholly support and understand. We come from Sungate West Phase 1. We are on the we're on their south side. We're the south neighbors.
Not to interrupt, Janice, but you're at unit 6, 1692 St. Mary's, so that's You're immediately south of the 1680?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Carry on.
And I need to explain Sungate West. It's a series of townhouse condominiums that move back from St. Mary's Road towards the river. So the first one is 1688 and then 1692, and we are a condominium corporation. Then there's 1696 and another number, and they form a condominium corporation. So we go back. The two that are directly affected, the condominium corporation directly affected, is ours, 1688 and 1692. The building will be directly beside ours. In order to come and speak with you tonight, we sent information to all of the owners in our corporation, and they gave us feedback about what they were concerned about, what we were concerned about. We wrote and rewrote our presentation many times as we added and revised it. We also sent the same information to the other phases, and they sent their support and their concerns. So it was a collaborative effort to come up with what we're going to say this evening. I've made extra copies. Would that be of any help to you?
Yes.
I'm the treasurer of the board of directors, and Dave, here with me is the vice president. I'm surprised Leo's standing here. And Leo is our support. He was a former City of Winnipeg building inspector, so whenever we run into difficulty, we turn and ask him, and he can generally supply most of the answers. So the first thing I like to talk about is the actual height of the building. And Councillor Lukes, if you said that you know the area well, then you know that the area is two-story townhouses on either side, and right now the co-op housing development are two-story townhouses. And the proposal is for a six-story apartment block, which at this point is out of character with all of the other buildings in the South St. Patel area along St. Mary's Road. So we were hoping that a consideration towards a four-story apartment would be looked at. It's going to seem really odd to see something that tall right next to us, you know, and walking up and down the streets. The other concern that we've had is the planned parking for the proposed apartment complex. For visitors, it seems to be minimal. Our Southgate condominium complex is already plagued by neighbors on the south side using our visitor parking. And we are concerned that our neighbors to the north might also find our visitor parking a tempting place to park their car or for their visitors to park. Dave went and looked at Water's Edge townhouses and counted out 200 spaces, and they have 70 units. Yet those people still need to come and use our driveway fairly often in order to find a place to park. The co-op apartment plans for a 1-to-25 ratio for new tenant parking, and I haven't seen any real increase in the amount of visitor parking. I spoke with their architect today, and we talked about this a little bit. There doesn't seem to be any area on the site to add more visitor parking, although I think it is a real concern because parents, children, and grandchildren will be coming to visit people at this site. And on Christmases, Thanksgiving, there will be an overflow of people there and not enough parking for them. And they will need to go somewhere. So I'm just raising that as a concern. There might be solutions that, you know, the co-op housing board could come up with. Our big concern is our foundation. Number three, we have a shallow strip footing foundation. The condominium unit was built in the 1980s. The end unit, That would be in 1688, Unit 7, has recent repairs to the foundation wall. Structural steel angles were attached to the interior foundation wall to strengthen and stabilize them. And the foundation is monitored by an engineering firm, and the walls have remained stable since those angles have been put in. The WCC 159 board is very concerned that if driven piles are used in the construction of the foundation of the proposed apartment block, there would be significant vibrations, and there's a strong possibility that they're going to destabilize our end unit, that foundation. Its proposed construction is approved. We strongly urge that drilled piles, which create minimum disturbance, be required. So that's just looking at, and I understand the planning for that step has not been done yet, so we couldn't check to see. There's no decision made on whether they're using drilled or driven, but there's a huge difference in the consequence to that end foundation. And we needed to get that on the record and to appeal to our neighbors that when they're making those decisions, that be a real something that they do. We also have a tree line between the two properties. It's on the co-op housing property, but the removal or destruction of the trees in the 15-foot wide tree line bordering Sungate West would change the moisture content of the soil near the foundation of the end units at 1688 and 1692 St. Mary's Road. A change in the moisture content has the potential of destabilizing the foundations of the end units and those adjacent to them. Drilled piles would be far less likely to cause damage to the root system of the trees in the tree line. That's the end of my portion. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? I had a couple of questions. One being, I have no idea what a shallow strip footing foundation is. Can somebody give me a 30-second?
May I call Leo?
Yeah.
Shallow footing foundation, could you describe it, please?
Our foundation?
I don't know what a shallow strip footing foundation is.
Oh, that's the spread footing. That's the regular type concrete footing that the basement wall sits on. It's 10 inches thick, 24, 30 inches wide, depending on the engineering.
Okay.
So that's what's on there right now in our units.
In comparison, the driven or the piles go down. And I think the regulations are now they have to go down to where they meet resistance, and I don't know the correct word for that, but you pile them down until they pound them down. So the driven ones, you get a great big pile driver in, and this big thing is pounding it down into the ground until it meets the resistance where it can't push it any further. And that is going to cause a lot of vibration. The drilled ones, you drill. There are a few different kinds of drilling methods. You drill a hole. Sometimes you put in casing, and then you pour the cement into the casing. There's an auger style where you the auger goes down, and the cement goes down the middle of the auger, and when it comes back up again, all the mud comes back up, and the cement fills in underneath it. There are different kinds of drilled, and they're used throughout Winnipeg. They're not unusual. It's just, I believe, the ones where you use a great big pounder are cheaper to put in. It may be more cost-effective to use them, but it's not going to be cost-effective if it creates the problems, again, that we've had with that foundation at Unit 7.
Okay.
Were there any other questions?
Just maybe to clarify your position, so you're not in opposition, but if these concerns were not addressed, would you be in favor of the project?
Oh, if they used, if the great big pounder started putting, no, we would be opposed to that.
So, I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, we would be opposed to that.
Okay.
It's cost us over $10,000 in repairs this year.
Okay.
And we're a very small corporation, and we need to protect that foundation.
I'll have a question for the admin arising out of your comments, but thank you for that. I think we're going to take about a three-minute break here and then come back. We have one more registered opponent, I think. So we're just going to adjourn for about 5 minutes and then come back.
Thank you.
Council Mays. I just have this motion. And I guess I need a second. Well, no, I don't need a second. Pitching it.
In the back lane asphalt one, which is, we've already talked about.